Worldwide, we are celebrating this week what we call is the Holy Name Week, where all the temples around the world are participating in chanting the Holy Name of the Lord in the temple and in the public. And the whole idea is to inundate the whole world with the Holy Name of the Lord. Now, some of you may be familiar that we have the beautiful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates residing in this temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came 500 years ago to inundate this world with love of Godhead. And Prabhupada explains that he actually came and he broke the floodgates of love of Godhead and spread love of Godhead all over the world by spreading the holy name of the Lord. So Krishna's holy name was spread all over. Of course, some of us, we may say that looking in the history, we don't see that there is much holy name spread around the world except a small part of this world, which is called India. But if you go beyond, it was spread everywhere. Because everywhere you go, there is the name of the Lord in some form or way. Not necessarily Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally went, but many of his devotees had taken birth in different parts of the world and has spread the holy name of the Lord. Now some may say that we only hear about the Hare Krishna in India. But Hare Krishna is not the only name of God. There are many, many names of God. That is why we say that we are not following any particular religion. What we are following is a way of life, culture. Prabhupada explains that this is a cultural lifestyle. It is not a religion. And a cultural lifestyle is based on spirituality. And spirituality means to connect with the Supreme Lord and accept the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5,000 years ago, Parikshit Maharaj, he questioned Sukadeva Goswami, the great saint, who is fully knowledgeable in all the subject matters. And he asked Sukadeva Goswami, that, sir, kindly tell me, what is the highest religion in this world? Now, in our world today, if you ask anybody, what is the best religion? You will get many different answers. If you ask a Hindu, he will say, Hindu religion is the best religion. You ask a Christian, saying, Christian religion is the best religion. You ask a Muslim, he will say, Islam is the best religion. You ask a Jewish person, he says, Judaism is the best form of religion. Now, not to be outdone, if you go into the outbacks of the countries where these prominent religions are not there, but they have their own brand of religion, they will say that particular religion which they are following is the best. This is because we have a complete misconception of what real religion is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, real religion is to develop love for the Supreme. And Sukadeva Goswami, when he answered Parikshit Maharaj this question, the answer to the question, what is the best religion? He says, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma. Saying that religion, or that religious practice, which invokes love of God in your heart, that is the best religion. So Srila Prabhupada, when he took the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world, starting with America, and many generalists were asking Srila Prabhupada, what have you brought that we don't have? So Srila Prabhupada said, I have come with a universal message to teach you that what you have forgotten, to develop love for God. I said, I have come here not to convert anybody to this form of religion or that form of religion, but to remind you that the real religion is to develop love for God. And you can develop love for God in whichever name which feels very dear to you. Now, of course, the Shastras, the very literature explains, God has many, many names. He's not limited to one name. Now you may say, well, this is a funny idea. There's only one God. How can you have many names? But we have in ourselves have many names. In my young days, the name given to me by my parents was Harish. So some people call me by my name Harish. Then my close friends used to call me Harry, short for Harish. Then my mom used to call me Haru, out of her love for me. That was my pet name. So I already have three names. Then when I went to school, my teacher used to address me as Mr. Patel, through my surname. So I have a fourth name. So I have many names. I cannot be accrediting myself that I have a million names. But at least I have few names. So if a mere mortal like me can have few names, what to speak of God, who is the master of all? He can have many names. Now generally, when we address the Supreme Lord, we address Him with a particular attribute we give to Him. God is a generalization. Nobody goes and says God. God is an impersonal name. There's a name. And we give that name according to an attribute we see in Him. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that when we address the Supreme Lord as Sri Krishna, that means Krishna in English language means one who is all attractive. So that is the attribute we see in the Lord, who is very attractive and beautiful. And sometimes in the Christian religion, they address as Christ, the Supreme Lord. Now how do they see Christ? They say Christ is the Supreme Savior. So that is the attribute given to Him. That they see God as a Savior. In Islam, they see the Lord as Allahu Akbar. Means one who is almighty and powerful. So like that, there are many attributes we can give. In Vedic beliefs, we also have many names of the same Krishna. We call Him Govinda, one who loves cows. Gopal, as a young boy. Makhanchor, one who steals butter. So many, many names are given according to a particular attribute to the Lord. But it's the same Lord. So sometimes when I'm explaining this message, I tell everyone that in England we have a saying, a rose by any other name is a rose. You cannot have different meaning to that. If I bring a rose in front of you and I say in English language, this is called a rose. And I will describe to you. It has many petals. It has got beautiful pink color. And it's got a beautiful fragrance. Then I say, okay, now in Slovenian language, you would describe what is this. So you will probably have a different name for rose in your language. But does it change the object? The object remains the same. So whether we call it in this language or that language, it may have many different names according to your own particular language. But the rose will still remain a rose. Now again, rose in England, rose in Slovenia, rose in India, rose in the United States, rose in China, rose in Africa, rose in New Zealand, rose in Australia, any part of the world, the rose is still a rose. We don't call this is an Australian rose, this is an American rose, this is a Chinese rose. No, it's a rose. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is not an Islamic God, is not a Christian God, is not a Hindu God. He is God. And all of us are children of the Supreme Lord. And each religion professes the same, that we are children of God. So then why we have so much problems amongst ourselves when we are worshipping the same God, but in our different ways? And of course the Lord is not saying there is only one way to approach Me. He may approach Me in many different ways. But the uniqueness of approaching that Supreme Lord, as described in the Vedic scriptures, is one of love. You can approach God with love. And how you can induce that love of God in your heart and invoke that is through chanting His holy names. So as I said, that this week we are celebrating the Holy Name Week. All over the world, our devotees are going in the streets, in the parks, in the temples, and having 12 hours, 40 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, according to their different time scheduling, they're chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this holy name of the Lord is so important that it's the only way which can invoke the dormant love of Godhead which is lying in the heart. Every one of us has the potential to love the Supreme Lord. Why I say that? Because we have the same potential to love someone else. You know, we love our family, we love our friends. So why we cannot love God? So that ability is there. But only thing is that we cannot recognize who that God is. Because we are confused. Because so many people are professing that this is God, this is God, this is God, this is God. But actually God is only one. Just like the rose. It's only one rose. But it can be seen in different ways. So, in the Vedic scriptures, it is described that to chant the holy name of the Lord is the greatest gift given to mankind. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, He came to this material world 500 years ago, and He gave us profusely and freely the holy name of the Lord. And a particular holy name of the Lord, He has said, which is appropriate in this day and age, is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So 16 syllables of the holy name in the form of the Hare Krishna Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this name of the Lord is described in the scriptures as an act of devotion. When we chant the holy name of the Lord, that is an act of devotion. And Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijananti, that only by an act of devotion can you approach me. So if you want to know the Lord, if you want to approach the Lord, then we have to have devotion. Now devotion to who? That is the question. So devotion to the Supreme Lord. And how best we can do that is we follow a prescribed method which is given by the Supreme Lord Himself. Because who can know better than the Lord Himself? See, if you ask someone else that do you know this person, they may say, yes, I know something about him. But if you come and ask me, I can tell you everything about me. Because I know everything about me. But someone else may only know little bits and pieces. So in this world, if we ask this person or that person who is professing that I know about God, he may be able to tell you only a little. But the Supreme Lord Himself is describing about how to attain Him. So He's saying that you chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Ranetha. Gati Ranetha means to get the highest desired goal, which is to be freed from the bondage of material suffering and engagement in this body. And how do we do that? Is to chant the holy name of the Lord. And the Lord is very kind and merciful that He is reminding us three times. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. Eva Kevalam, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. No other way, no other way, no other way. Why? Because He knows very well that we are very forgetful. We can forget very easily things. We cannot remember things very easily. So sometimes you have to be told a few times. I remember as a child, when I used to go to the market to buy some provision for my mother would say three times, four times, remember, remember, don't forget, you have to bring this. I say, yes, mom, I know. No, no, you remember. And after that, I go out and come back with a bag full of shopping and she goes through that. I say, where's the bread? I told you four, five times, don't forget the bread. But I forgot. Why? Because when I went to the supermarket, I was so bewildered by so many things that I say, okay, I pick this, I pick this, I pick this. And before I know, I'm lost. So like that in this material world, we become bewildered. So the Lord is very kind. He's reminding us over and over and over that this is the process. So that is how we approach the Lord through chanting. So this chanting of the holy name is so important that one who practices can only experience that. See, I can tell you that is so wonderful to chant the holy name of the Lord. You can experience this kind of happiness. You can get this kind of feeling. But really speaking, I can only describe, but you cannot experience that mellow. You cannot experience that feeling which I have. Just like, if I describe it to you, very, very nice, delicate sweet. It's called rasgulla. Now, some of you may have tasted. So when I speak about rasgulla, immediately this big smile says, yes, I know what you're talking about. Others who have not heard about rasgulla may wonder, what is rasgulla? So then I would say, rasgulla is a very beautiful milk sweet. So you think, okay, milk sweet. Now you think, milk sweet? Chocolate. Because chocolate is milk sweet. Because you have never seen rasgulla, so immediately you say it's milk, made out of milk, so you say chocolate. But no, it's not a chocolate. Then I describe further, it's very soft. So you want a marshmallow. It's not marshmallow. Then I say that when you put it in your mouth and it oozes with sweetness. So you try to wonder, what could that be? Then I said, it's got a very nice smell. So you want a sweet smell? What could that sweet smell be? You don't know. Then you start speculating. Because you may have eaten many other kinds of sweets with different fragrance. So you may say, well, could it be this? Could it be that? So you may not know perfectly what I'm talking about. Then I said, look, forget me describing to you. Then I called my assistant and said, please come, my friend. I've got a bowl full of rasgullas here. Give it out to everyone. Then I said, now all of you, feel the texture, the softness, and then the fragrance. And then now eat in your, put in your mouth, and you see this juice squeezing out, and feel and you taste. And now you've experienced. So now I speak about rasgulla, you all understand what I'm speaking about. Because why? You've also all experienced it. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the only way you can experience the transcendental ecstasies and pleasure which we derive is that you must partake in chanting of the holy names. For example, if I chant, you will not experience. If I eat, say, are you satisfied fully? How can you be satisfied? All the food went into my stomach. But if I share half of it and say, give it to you, then say, yes, I got something. I'm satisfied. Because you have that experience of food going in your belly. So similarly, you have to chant. Now the chanting process is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's saying that the best way to chant in the mood of devotion is the threefold processes. And we are studying this verse for last few days. And the first principle there, it says Shravanam. Now we all have the ability to hear. Anybody who is deaf, put your hands up. Okay, I don't see any hands up. That means you're not all deaf. You can hear. So we have the ability to hear. Now any person who is dumb here, who cannot speak, we all can speak. So we have power of speaking. And everybody has a brain up there which through which you can remember things. Somewhat forgetful, but you can still remember things. Everybody. Right? So smaranam, remembrance. So chanting, hearing, remembering. If you follow this process, then immediately the transcendental sound vibration will not just go through your ears and into your brain, but it will go to the core of your heart. Because this chanting is described as transcendental sound vibration. It is a spiritual sound vibration. It is not a material sound vibration. Material sound vibration can only penetrate up to your brain. But it cannot go to the core of your heart. And why I say the core of your heart? Some of you may have heard, if you've been here regularly, that you yourself are residing in the region of the heart. But most of us say, I'm here, but this is not me. This is my body. This is my hand, this is my hand, this is my head, this is my belly, this is my legs. But me, who is me? Is up there in the heart. That's the soul. So he goes to the soul. And when the holy names of the Lord, the sound vibration penetrates into the core of the heart, the soul is nourished by this sound vibration. And when the soul is nourished by the sound vibration, it feels very happy. Just like the stomach, when you are hungry and the pangs of hunger are there, and I feed you with nice palatable food, and every morsel you eat, you feel satisfied. And more you eat, you feel satisfied, till your hunger is gone. And then I ask, are you fully satisfied? I say, oh, That was the most wonderful meal I had. I am fully satisfied. But for how long? Only for today. Tomorrow you'll be hungry again. So the soul needs nourishment also. And the nourishment for the soul is the holy name of the Lord. So we chant the holy name of the Lord. And more you chant, the more and more it penetrates the core of your heart and it feeds the soul. And therefore the soul is enlivened. And if the enlivened soul is there, then what is the symptom of that? You'll be a very happy person. If the soul is deprived of this nourishment, you'll be one miserable person. Because the soul is feeling the pangs of hunger. And that hungry person you see sometimes, you go and try and ask something, he will be a very, very disturbed person. He will not be very happy. And any action he performs will be very, very undue. But you go to a happy person who's fully satisfied, he will actually give joy to you. Why? Because he is full of joy. So the symptom of a soul which is fully nourished by the holy name is that you are always happy. That is why Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And we are always happy. Of course, sometimes we become miserable, but that is miserable is because we are on a mundane platform of the senses. The senses get a little bit disturbed. If there is too much noise, or if it's too hot, it's too cold, all these things disturb you. But the soul inside, it doesn't matter. It's not disturbed. As long as the soul is fully satisfied by the holy name of the Lord. So chanting the holy name is recommended in this day and age. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the holy name of the Lord is descended in this world and it is non different from the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, you know, we as a person have a name. That name is only there as long as I'm alive. Once I die, my body will be discarded. According to different customs, either I'm buried or I'm cremated. But nonetheless, the body is discarded. And the name also goes with the body. Sometimes you may, you know, have memories and say, well, I knew that person, such and such. But the name is only with that body. It is not the body. Now, that is the difference between us and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord and His name are non-different. That is the transcendental nature, the spiritual nature of the Supreme Lord. So when we address Him as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then we are actually associating directly with the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when we associate directly with the Supreme Lord by chanting His holy names, then we are actually in unison with Him, in connection with Him. And Krishna is described as Sachit Ananda. He is full of knowledge and bliss and eternity. And because He is full of Ananda, as soon as you connect with Him, you also become Ananda. You also become happy. That is how it is. That you see, even in our mundane experience, if you see someone who is very jolly and very happy, even though you may be miserable, just by being with him, you become very happy. You know, they say, laughing is contagious. And if someone starts laughing, and immediately you'll also start laughing. You know, as a child, we used to have this one small laughing machine, you know, and we're sitting in the classroom, and we switch it on, and it starts laughing. And immediately the whole class is laughing. It's contagious. Laughter is contagious. But if I bring a machine crying, it will not make you cry. You'll say, he's a miserable person. Maybe he's sad. Maybe he has lost someone or lost something. That is why he's crying. It won't bother you so much. But laughter, everybody laughs. So that the spirit of joy comes when you connect it with the Supreme. Because Supreme is all joyful. So this is the method of connecting with Supreme Lord. As it's described, Kali Kale Naam Rupa Krishna Avatar, that in this age, the Lord has descended in the form of His name. He's non-different. And when we begin to chant His holy name, you will experience connection with Him. because you are associating with him. And all the good qualities will come out from you. See, we have good qualities and we have bad qualities. The influence of bad qualities is there because we associate it with negative energy. And good qualities come when we associate with positive energy. Krishna is all positive. So mostly because we are in this material world, it is described that it is influenced by the three modes of material nature. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness. And any combination of these three will make us miserable. Even mode of goodness will make you miserable. And someone may wonder, how mode of goodness can make me miserable? Because mode of goodness may bring something to you. As soon as you lose that, what happens? You feel miserable. You don't feel happy. Even some people who have everything, they are not happy. You know, sometimes people think, money, if I had, I'd be a happy man. And every one of us, not just in this room, but this whole world, is running after money. Day and night, we're working so hard just to get little money. Thinking money is going to make me happy. But those who are fortunate and who are blessed with so much money, you go and ask them, are you happy? They're not happy because they're looking for more happiness. They're looking for happiness. There's one guy in England, young man. He couldn't finish his college because he was not as bright as the others. So he was a dropout. So at the age of 16, he dropped out of school. He's looking for a job here, looking for a job there. He can get a job here. Sometimes there's a job, sometimes no job, no money. But he bought one lottery ticket. Somehow it was his good fortune that he won five million pounds. So all of a sudden, a young 18-year-old man in his prime of, you know, in his youth, in his prime, and any 18-year-old wish, you know, that I wish if I had access to 5 million, my life's made it, you know, I've got it, everything. So he got that money. He was so happy, all in his account. The lottery company, you know, made the official transaction. He's got his money to his name. And one would think he would be a very happy man. He went out and bought the biggest house he could buy. It's a grand house, you know, big mansion. Then he bought 5 or 6 cars, all high-class cars like Porsche, Lamborghinis, and all these top-of-the-range cars, all parked outside his house. Then he went on a world cruise. That was not satisfied. So then he went to all the most desirable holiday spots in the world. He went everywhere. And after he reached 23, he was signing on the welfare system. And this is a true story. You can do a research if you want. That he was signing on our English, British welfare system to get money from the government. Because you have no job, you have no money. And the journalist who was making an interview with him asked him, you're a young man, you had 5 million pounds at your disposal, what happened? He said, I went mad. I didn't know what to do. So I spent money here, I spent money here, I was drinking myself mad, and I was getting into drugs, and all this house I bought was okay, but then to hit the big house and pay the insurance for the big house and the government tax for the big house, is all coming up, and slowly money is going. Then all these Lamborghinis and Porsche, all these 5 Porsche cars, insurance, very high. You know, when you are under 25, insurance is very high. I don't know in this country, but in England, it's very high. Recently, my nephew, 19-year-old, he got his license, and he said, Dad, I want a car. So I said, hey, no car for you. So he said, why? You know how much is the insurance? The car will cost £5,000, second-hand car, of course. But the insurance is £20,000. Who can afford £20,000 insurance? Unless you're earning big bucks, right? So this guy, of course, he had 5 million. So he was paying big, big insurance, not for one car, 5 cars. And before you know it, all his money is gone, nothing left. And then they ask him, are you a happy man? No, I'm not a happy man. I wish I had my 5 million back. Then he said, what would you do with that 5 million if you get back? I'll do the same again. What is the value? So what I'm trying to make here, point, is that we are in the same boat. We are doing the same thing. Krishna has given us so much, but we are misusing it. And thinking that this will bring me happiness, that will bring me happiness, all these things, and nothing brings us happiness. But what brings us happiness is that when we connect with Krishna through His holy name. So, I will share with you one story, very, very nice story I came across, and this is a very befitting story of our existence in this material world. So this is a story of a bumblebee. Now you all know what is a bumblebee, right? And you know dung beetle. Everybody knows a dung beetle? Huh? Maybe someone can translate in Slovenian. What is a dung beetle? Gonash. Gonash. Okay. So maybe my pronunciation is not good, but I think everybody understands. What is a dung beetle? So let me continue with the story. So this bumblebee is a very, very sophisticated insect. He's got a very high-class taste. The bumblebees will go, and through their senses, they'll seek out the most fragrant flowers, very aromatic flowers. And then it will seek those flowers and go to the core of the flower and seek out the nectar and suck all the nectar. And that is very high-class taste. Even in this world, they say honey is the highest form of sugar. We may have local sugar which we make from different kinds of materials, but honey you cannot outdo. In fact, honey is such a wonderful natural element. I was reading a report recently that if you put honey in a closed jar and leave it for 3,000 years, it will still be fresh. Everything else has a sell-by date. And it goes off. Anyway, so this bumblebee was quite happy going to all the nice orchards where there were very, very fragrant flowers. And they would seek out these flowers and smell and take the intoxication of the nice aromatic smells and then suck out all the different nectars from the flower. So one day, when this bumblebee was flying on his way to seek more nectar, saw a little dung beetle stuck in a big ball of dung. And dung beetles are actually born in the dung and they die in the dung. So that is their universe. They do not know anything beyond that. That is all they know. So this poor little dung beetle was caught up in this big ball of dung. It was almost 20 times the size of the beetle. And what they do is they gather more and more dung and they make the ball bigger and bigger and they live inside. And that is the universe. So this bumblebee was thinking, I am enjoying this aromatic fragrance. I'm enjoying the nectar. Let me share it with this person. Because there is enough to go around. So he went to the dung beetle and says, my friend, listen, I want to share something wonderful with you. This beautiful aromatic air we breathe and the nectar which we can suck from the core of the flowers. And the dung beetle was looked at him and said, I don't think you can show me anything better than my world. Because this is the best there is in this universe. Because he doesn't know anything better. And the bumblebee says, no, but give it a try, my friend. So after persistence, the dung beetle says, okay, since you're disturbing me so much and ruining my peace here in this little world of my own, I will come along. So then he says, okay, fly with me. So the dung beetle flaps his wings and flies with the bumblebee. And as they're approaching a beautiful orchard, the air is fragrant and the aroma is coming. And the bumblebee is going, oh, such a wonderful smell. I said, dung beetle, can you smell that? It just smells like my dung. What is the difference? Okay, never mind. Let's go further. And he goes to the core of the flower and he's sucking the nectar, the sweetness. I said, okay, you try it out. And the dung beetle goes, tastes just like dung. The bumblebee is perplexed, completely confused. How can it be possible? There's a vast difference between the aromatic nectar of rose flowers and other flowers and dung. He's thinking. And so, okay, I know what is the problem. I have to do something very special to you. He said, come along with me. So he flies to a beautiful crystal clear lake. The water is fresh. He puts the dung beetle in there and he scrubs him everywhere. And he cleans away all the pores from the body and takes water and says, okay, wash him out. And he washes everything out and takes out every single sign of dung from the dung beetle. So now we are clean. Let's go again. And then they're flying. And they're flying. And then as they're approaching, the bumblebee is experiencing wonderful aromatic smells and says, hey, Mr. Dung, how are you doing? Wow, this is wonderful. Man, this is much better than the dung. I can smell he's intoxicated just by the aroma of the flowers. And then he goes to the core of the flower and he goes, boom. And he feels the taste, the sweetness. See, I have never tasted something like this in my whole life. And I thought the dung was everything. And he's saying, wow. And after sucking so many flowers, the dung beetle is completely intoxicated. And the bumblebee says, well, it's coming evening. Let's go back home. And I'll resume tomorrow morning. I'll take you to better fields where I have my special flowers. So the dung beetle says, you go ahead. I'll make my way home. So the bumblebee goes home. And the dung beetle, one last. Because once you get intoxicated by this nectar, you don't want to give up. Even though you're full up to here, you want to go have more. So he goes and flies and he sees a nice lotus flower. And he goes into the lotus flower. And he sucks. And then he feels conscious. Unconscious and he sleeps there. And the lotus flower in the evening time, it closes. It's closed. So a dung beetle is in there. Next morning, as the sun is rising, the pujari from the nearby temple, he goes and looks for nice flowers to offer to the lotus feet of the Lord. So he sees a beautiful lotus there. He said, this will be very nice as an offering to the Lord. So he snaps the lotus and takes it and offers it to Krishna. Meanwhile, the bumblebee is ready for the next day's excursion to the far fields to get more nectar. And he's looking for his friend Dung Beetle. And he's looking everywhere. He can't find him anywhere. Then all of a sudden, as he's going buzzing by the temple, he sees the lotus flower there. And the dung beetle lying in there. So he goes and he shakes him up, wakes him up. And the dung beetle wakes up and says, what's the matter, my friend? I was in such a beautiful dream world. And you woke me up. Says, but it's the next day. Let's go for more nectar. I said, no, I cannot go anywhere now. I have found my destination. This is my destination. So the moral of the story is, who is the dung beetle and who is the bumblebee? We are all dung beetles. And why I say with confidence is because we are taking so much pleasure in the dung-like world of this material world. This material world is like that. It is full of lower taste. And the bumblebee is the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who is tasting the pure nectar. And because he has understood the higher taste. And because his heart is full of compassion and mercy, just like the bumblebee, he showers this mercy upon those who are unfortunate. And what does he do? He picks us just like the bumblebee. He picks us out of the dung of this world, cleans us up, and gives us the pure nectar of higher taste. And he introduces us to the process of Krishna consciousness. And this process of Krishna consciousness is so intoxicating and freeing from the clutches of Maya and material energy that one who comes will never want to leave. Just like the dung beetle, when it was placed at the lotus feet of Krishna, he found his destination, his goal. And this is where we are aspiring. That by the mercy of the pure devotee, he has cleansed us from all the dirty things and our senses are purified. And then he gives us the process of the holy name. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we become very dear to the Lord. And because we are very dear to the Lord, he actually gives us shelter at his lotus feet, which is the perfection of all desires. So that is our position. So we are in that position that we were at one stage very much like the dung beetle with so much dung in our senses. By the process of Krishna consciousness, it's purified us and given us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious through chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now, holy name of the Lord is such that when you chant, it purifies your heart. But anyone who hears you chant also gets purified. And the more you share the holy name with others, the more the holy name is pleased with you. Because your heart becomes more and more full of mercy and compassion. And anybody's heart who has compassion and mercy will never feel happy without sharing it with others. And if you share more, it increases more. And more you share, the more it increases. But if you are miserly and you keep it to yourself, then very quickly, it will be diminished in power. This is the nature. If you share, it increases. If you do not share, it decreases. So we have to follow in the process of Krishna consciousness taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu had instructed all of those who are followers of the Lord, Yare dekho, tare kaho, Krishna upades. That wherever you go, whoever you meet, give them the name of Krishna. Give them the mercy of Krishna. Be compassionate unto them. And when you show that compassion to others, then the Lord says, I am going to show you more compassion because you are showing that compassion and sharing that compassion with others. And this is the beauty of sharing. Because more when you share, and you see that if I am sharing this with someone and that makes him happy, it will make me more happy. And because I am happy, Krishna is even more happy. Because he's saying that we are spreading the good message of the good Lord to free everybody from this suffering in this material world. And that is our business. To enjoy the holy names of ourselves, and then the experience of that we share with others. The more you share, the more you'll be happy. So I generally say, okay, the players are ready, so we don't take much time. But I recommend and request everyone that try this. In a day, from morning till evening, you may meet so many people. Just approach them saying, Hare Krishna, my friend. Just tell him, Hare Krishna, my friend. And he probably may ask you, what is this Hare Krishna? Then it gives an opportunity. I'll tell you what is Hare Krishna. And it'll give you opportunity to preach. And more you preach, the fire of preaching will be ignited in your heart. And you want to go and preach. And more you preach, the more you'll feel happy. Because you're sharing this transcendental message with everyone. And I can guarantee you that in a day, if you even approach 10 people and say, Hare Krishna, how are you, my friend? You'll make many friends and they will be very, very indebted to you that you actually gave them a smile and a name of the Lord. Because otherwise we see, you know, I don't know here, but in England we see, you know, we're sitting in the tube going to work or we meet people and they're all very miserable. You know? Looking for happiness but miserable. And out of the blue I say, hey, Hare Krishna, how are you doing, my friend? You know, be smile. I don't even know the person. You know, and nobody would say that. And he's not expecting. But then all of a sudden he says, well, by the way, who are you guys? We say, we are from the Hare Krishna. And then we start talking. Before you know, he's so happy. And then he shakes my hand and says, thank you very much. I'm very happy I met you. Just see. So this is our business. So please share this experience of Krishna consciousness, which you have received by the mercy of Prabhupada. And share with others. And more you share with others, you will also enjoy. And it will increase your happiness. And this is the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. That is why Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And this is how we can all be very happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.